Columbia Morning on KFRU with Mayor Brian Treese, who joins us. And we're just talking offline, off the air, about the enjoyment of the True False. As mayor, when you think of that event, what strikes you as you're downtown and see everything going on with True False?
Gosh, I am so proud of Columbia. You know, this is the type of festival that really puts Columbia, Missouri on the map, not only across the country, but across the world. And spent a lot of time this weekend talking to visitors standing in line and directors that were here. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, when Columbia, Missouri is being compared to Austin and South by Southwest or, you know, the Toronto Film Festival or Sundance, I mean, that really puts us in a tier of cities and amenities and culture that I think we can all be proud of.
I made the comment earlier, when you hear directors or producers or those who are involved in some way with these films at the first or end of the film showing, talk about how they've been to many different film festivals, and this one seems to be one that they really, truly, I read what they say as something that is sincere, and they don't say that at every screening, at every film festival they go to.
I agree with you. I don't think it's a gratuitous compliment to us. In fact, I talked to, there was a movie, Love Means Zero, having to do with Andre Agassi and his coach, and there was a championship tennis player here, and I spoke to her after the film, and she said, "Oh, I just love this town. I'm definitely coming back next year with my girlfriends and family to take it in." And she won't even be a subject or a star of the film next year. And when our community makes that type of impression on people, I think it drives other types of investment and interest and, you know, beyond just the regular tourism.
We'll go from this in a second, but I just want to share a comment that was made before a 9:30 showing of Three Identical Strangers yesterday morning in the Jesse Auditorium. And the place, I think, was packed. The queue line, I know, went to at least 366. So that crowd, and when I guess it was the director of Three Identical Strangers came out, or the creator of that film, and he came out and he said, "Look, I've been to others, and on a Sunday morning, that's usually when you have maybe 5 to 10 people in the audience," but he said, "This is amazing on a Sunday morning," as a testament to the enthusiasm for this particular event.
Yeah, I mean, so, just the metrics of it. I mean, I think they had over 54,000 tickets sold, probably 20,000 people total. You know, beyond that, I think just the word of mouth value, it's a reputation that is well earned and well deserved. And again, I think it's one of those things that makes Columbia unique. And I'm just so proud of the festival.
Those who don't attend may grow weary of those who do even just go downtown to see what's happening down there, let alone whether they see any of the movies or not. But just keep in mind that this does create an atmosphere that is one that if you have never, just walk downtown on a Saturday, the Saturday of True False, and see what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, the weather helped, of course. A home basketball game helped, of course. You saw a little bit of, not clash, but a culture clash between the festival goers and some black and gold patrons that are also coming back into town for the last home basketball game. But, you mean, gosh, what a great atmosphere in Columbia, Missouri. And, yeah, I just think it's really great.
Join us if you'd like to talk about city business. We're going to move on to that now with Mayor Brian Treese. The phone number is 442-8255. You can get on and talk to the mayor about any of the topics that you think are appropriate for our conversation. The city council meets tonight. One of the first read items is one that I want to start with today, and that is the city manager has asked for the council to go ahead and resume progress towards a sports facility at Phillips Park rather than continuing in conversations about whether to do this at the Central Missouri Event Center, which would be the old fairgrounds. Your reaction to this?
Well, you know, as mayor, my first priority is to the citizens of Columbia. And when it comes to capital improvements, we have a very deliberate process in our code of ordinances that requires, you know, an interested parties meeting. It requires, you know, a number of steps and a number of votes by council. In this case, Parks and Recreation did a great job of laying out a vision for Phillips Lake Park. They developed plans for that vision. They took that vision to council and to voters, ultimately to the ballot. Voters approved that vision and voted to extend or renew a sales tax to pay for it. Council has already had 3 votes to proceed at this point with Phillips Lake Park, and I thought it was important to continue that process. That doesn't mean we can't continue to negotiate with the county, because I do think as Columbia continues to grow, We can support that type of destination sports venue, and the fairgrounds may be the perfect place for that. But there's just a number of barriers. The county's financing at this point, the area would have to be annexed, private financing in place, all of which created some barriers to proceeding and proceeding quickly. And I thought it was important that we continue to move forward and keep that promise to voters.
So what happens is, as the city manager explained this last week on the radio station, he said it's like, and you said it's an extensive process that you go through to make sure that you're using the resources that are entrusted to the city in the proper way. He called it like a 9-step process. And he said originally they got to step 9 when this possibility came up of looking into a larger facility with a combined effort of the private nonprofit group and the county working with the city. And he said, we put a hold on it then just to listen, because it wouldn't have been wise not to listen to possibilities. And he says, now you go back to step number 9 mm-hmm. and get this taken care of.
Yeah, I think that's right. And look, one of the things that I want to improve, and I think I've done a good job of working on over the last 2 years as mayor, is our relationship with the county. And I had a couple meetings with the county commission on this topic, and I think we have the foundation for future discussion, but we're not there yet. And I don't want to risk jeopardizing the promises that we made to voters and ruining the high degree of integrity with which we deal with voters and that voters respond to enthusiastically.
How did these two things fit together? Because I've heard what you've said, and I've thought through this also, and I think there is the risk. I mean, the city would have assumed some risk to go into this kind of agreement, while at the same time, there is the issue that we always, those who were, would say that the city had said, we are going to do this with money passed in the Parks and Rec tax, and it would be out at Phillips Lake Park. So are those two things the same thing, or are they two different things that both are true? In other words, let's adhere to what we've always said, which is if this is what we presented as our next list of projects, we will follow through with that. Or was it, gosh, the risk was too great? In other words, if there hadn't been as much risk, would the city have moved ahead with that possibility up at the north?
I don't know that it's risk as much as representation. And in this case, we made a representation that that we were going to build this, a four-court arena at four-court basketball indoor facility at Phillips Lake Park. And there were a couple presentations that we also thought and considered the ARC and also the fairgrounds, to be fair. But that being said, this is a larger and more complicated relationship that involves, you know, both private financing and, you know, my comment to the county, and notwithstanding, they wanted to give us half of the fairgrounds, but we would put up 100% of the money. And it seems like they were shedding at least half their liability, if not all their liability, for the city to assume half 100% of that risk, and wasn't really ready to do that yet without some more thoughtful planning and frankly in a more public session that allowed more input on that. But you know, look, I do think that is a perfect place. It's located in such a place that we could host tournaments from Kansas City and St. Louis that are now going to, you know, Springfield and even north. And really bring back some of those Show Me State games and Misha conferences and other private basketball tournaments right there.
Do you think there are enough to go around? Because there are good facilities in other places that are already holding these kinds of tournaments.
There are, and that's part of the frustration I hear from people in Boone County and in the city of Columbia that, man, I'm just exhausted taking our kids to basketball games in Springfield or St. Louis or Kansas City. Why can't we have that here? And I think we can. But I think it requires a more deliberative process, and certainly under our ordinance, it would require us to follow that public improvement process.
The part that is going to be built now at Phillips, if the council follows through with what the recommendations are, and tonight is a first read, so this is not a public hearing tonight.
Right, we're just setting the date for that public hearing to move forward.
And that date will probably be 2 weeks from tonight. Mm-hmm. And so that is probably going to be something that will have the public hearing and the comments on March 19th. The overall plan for the Phillips Lake Park and the Gans Recreational Area, you talk about continuing perhaps looking at developing something up in the north, but ever since the early part of the Gans Phillips area was in conversation, was this is going to be comparable to what is at Cosmo Park.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with the decision to proceed, if it all passes within the next couple of weeks, at Phillips, how does that still mean that there is that possibility out there for the north location at the Central Missouri Event Center with knowing what the overall, this is, that's only the another step towards a completion of a major recreation area south of town.
Right. Parks and Rec has done a great job developing a master plan for that Phillips Lake Park area and that that trail and the field house is just one step of that. And I fully expect, you know, future ballot issues to incorporate that. That doesn't mean we can't work with the county to develop a similar vision for the fairgrounds. To me, there's a couple must-haves. We'd have to have it annexed. I think we'd have to have more than 50% control of that asset with respect to how we improve that asset, maintain that asset, manage that asset. And when you add in a third not-for-profit, that becomes even more complicated as to what their expectations are, what their needs are. What happens in 10 years when that facility needs a major facelift? And are they still around? Do they still have the financial capacity? Or do we absorb all that even though we only own 33% of it, right? So those are some of the questions I had that you know, I think additional due diligence is worth. And look, the final vision for that project may indeed be worth taking that risk, but I'm not willing to do it on the backs of taxpayers at this point.
How close was there to being an announcement that this was a deal?
Very close.
Yeah. And who said, let's think about this a while longer?
Well, you can go back and look in the minutes. I was the one that asked for a work session on it with council in public session so that the public could hear additional details there. I was a little disappointed all the financial details didn't come out, but I do think it's, it was worth not only I had the benefit of having two meetings with the county commission on this. I thought the other six council members needed to have that same opportunity, and ultimately, I think the public needed to have that opportunity.
So when you, we'll move on for this to other topics in a moment. I'm just curious about one more thing. So when you talk about trying and having good relationships with the county, does this impact those relationships at all?
I don't think it does. I mean, I've got an open relationship with all three county commissioners, and there was a lot of back and forth between staff at that point. So not at all. In fact, if anything, I think this gives us an opportunity to work on together. Certainly, the presiding commissioner and I, you know, have been talking about the fairgrounds since the day I was elected. I mean, so that's not new. I think how we get there is a matter for public discussion.
All right, we'll move on. And again, callers, you can join us if you wanted to chime in on that. Please do so. We'll move on, though, to other topics. And you can call at 442-8255, 442-8255. What else? I looked through this. Got to be honest with you, this didn't grab me as the most exciting agenda of a council meeting. I'm glad that there was that first read for that decision because I think that is an attention getter. But I don't know what else is on here that has got you fired up for this meeting tonight.
Well, I'm not fired up about anything, really. I have called for a state audit, and the council is going to consider a resolution tonight to invite the state auditor to come in and take a look at the city of Columbia, whether she accepts that invitation or not. I'm not sure. But, you know, look, we have an annual financial audit every year. But I think it's important as we continue to restore public confidence in the city and how we govern, that a performance audit might actually yield some savings and some areas for improvement that we can work on.
When we think of audit, oftentimes we think of just dollars and cents.
Right.
But a performance audit, does that do something else?
It does. So the annual financial audit we have now really just adds up those numbers to make sure there's no money missing. What a performance audit, if you've ever read a state audit, looks at is, you know, where are there opportunities for improvement? Where are there conflicts of interest? Where can our processes be improved? Where can we eliminate duplication? Where have we spent way too much money? Those types of things. And you know, I had four different organizations contact me saying they would like to have a state audit, and I felt it was important to come back and ask council to join me in that call.
Organizations from the community that have said we'd like to see this, not government or not city related?
Correct. The Columbia Board of Realtors, for example.
And that would be something from what I've learned from the audit situation is a city asks the auditor to come and audit them, or a county can do that if that is not a scheduled audit. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So how long would that take?
I don't know. Part of it depends on the scope of the audit. You know, how many years back are we doing? Would the state audit choose to go? What departments do we use? Is it citywide? Is it, you know, the entire budget? Is it just some departments? That type of thing.
And the When was the last time one of those was done? Do you know?
In
a performance audit like that? Not
in
not
my
the yearly.
Recollection. Yeah. I'm not sure it's ever been done. So it's very important to me that we have that baseline, that bookmark, as to, you know, how we're governing, how we're budgeting, how we execute that budget, and do it in a way that it's not management selecting the financial audit, but it's council selecting, in this case, the state auditor to come in and look at how we perform.
When that is requested, who pays for that?
The city requesting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have an estimate of how much it would cost to do this kind of an audit?
I don't. Again, it depends on the scope of that audit, how many years back we go, what departments are included, the dollar volume, I would suspect.
And would you have, if you were going to choose what departments were involved and where you would have the auditor look closest, where would you ask
that? Well, you know, it's well known publicly that there have been problems in water and light. That's one of the major enterprise funds that, you know, has struggled recently, as you know, was unable to produce a monthly financial report for 6 to 9 months, could not justify a rate increase, which ultimately the council rejected and that I fought hard to defeat. And so I do think having an extra set of eyes take a look at that department, for example, may be appropriate.
All right, we'll move on to another thing. Since last we talked, I think it's since last we talked, you're looking forward to the 200th year of Columbia, and you've appointed a committee to work on that. Speak more about what you hope this committee is thinking about and how it will proceed with a celebration of 200 years of Columbia.
Well, not surprisingly, I think a lot of our you and me and your listeners will remember the 1976 bicentennial celebration, where everybody got dressed up in period clothing for a weekend, and it was a series of celebrations across the country. I'm excited and so honored to be mayor of Columbia during our 200th anniversary, and I thought it was an appropriate time to really to take a look in a more thoughtful way. And one of the reasons I've announced this in 2018 is to coincide with the founding of Smithton in 1818. At the intersection of Broadway and Garth Avenue. They stayed there and realized there was no water, so they moved down the hill to Flat Branch Creek. And Flat Branch eventually became, you know, a hub of African-American commerce and the business community to the south. The University of Missouri was founded to the north. And, you know, it came the Sharp End and Second Missionary Baptist and to the east, culminating in Boone County Hospital, you know, and a growing, bustling downtown right there with General Richard Gentry forming the first post office, and Anne Hawkins Gentry being the second postmistress in the country, where she served for over 30 years right there on the banks of Flat Branch. And I thought it was important to recognize that bicentennial and develop a series of events between 2018 and 2021, when we finally turn 200, to really commemorate and interpret that history, the good and the bad. And I'm so excited about the commission that we've put together to help plan and interpret some of those events.
How will people who are not on that group, how do you hope that group invites those who are not on that group to input?
Well, I think that group is just that. I think it's a steering committee. I think there's going to be several offshoots of that. And I see there being a series of events, whether those are lectures or cemetery tours or trolley tours that really interpret Columbia's history. I desperately want to interpret the Black history and the African American experience in Columbia over the last 200 years as well. And I see there being lots of opportunities for people to participate. And I also want to make sure that we're celebrating in an appropriate way. And again, going back to this public improvement process, I think preserving and developing that Flat Branch area into some type of landing or speaker circle or gateway into that historic downtown is an appropriate public gift on the anniversary of our bicentennial.
Couple of things in regard to the area that you're talking about right now. When Smithton basically was up the hill and said, well, let's move down the hill, we'll be closer to water. It's not that far anyway, folks. It's probably not even a quarter of a mile. But that was a move that made Smithton disappear and Columbia emerge. Yeah. And you were talking about looking at the negative as well as the positive. I have interviewed many people who would talk about that stretch now where Lucky's is, mm-hmm. and on down towards Stewart Road, starting about where Broadway crosses Providence. And they speak of, for a while, how the slums, I mean, it's horrible shacks and horrible living conditions, yeah. along that bank there that would be the west side of Flat Branch.
Yeah, Cemetery Hill,
yeah.
Was developed there and pretty much along Flat Branch Creek as it extends north all the way up to Douglas High School, all the way down to Stewart Road. in the Stuart Road Bridge there. You've probably heard me say before, if you look at Providence Road, it takes a, as you're heading north from Stadium towards I-70, Providence Road takes a profound bend. And if you would have aligned it straight, it probably would have cut through 5th Street. Mm-hmm. But there are some very wealthy Queen Anne and Victorian homes there that would have been expensive to acquire. And so it takes this profound bend and goes through Cemetery Hill and wipes out an entire, you know, African-American community all the way up to Sharp End and 3rd Street commerce businesses there. And in so doing, it really wiped out, you know, a black middle class at an important time in Columbia's history there. Hmm.
So that could be, I mean, that needs to be recognized as well as everything else. I mean, it would be nice if somebody puts together a huge picture book of things that they have that showing Columbia as it grew.
I think that's part of the plan as well, and to really interpret all of that history in a new and meaningful way. And, you know, I intentionally did not... I really want to incorporate young people into this process because I think they can share that history in a new and different way that really helps get them engaged on it. I was proud to appoint Dr. Erica Neville, the principal of Douglas High School. I hope Columbia, as our liaison to Columbia Public Schools, I hope, you know, whether it's a time capsule or an essay writing contest or some mm-hmm. type of local curriculum over the next 3 years, I hope there's an opportunity to really develop that sense of history with our next generation.
Final topic for today before we're out of time. We can never talk a whole segment without talking about police and policing in this community. What do you think of Matt Pitzer's suggestion of maybe some help with a down payment or house payment or rent, less rent for those who would live in an area where they might be policing as part of the police force and enticing people to become officers in the police force?
So a couple things. And you know, I've created, the council has approved 12 new FTEs, 12 new police officers without raising taxes. And what do you know, we still have 11 vacancies. So it's very difficult to recruit. It's also very difficult to retain officers. So while I'm in favor of everything we can do to help recruit police officers to make Columbia, Missouri their home, I want to make sure that that we're taking care of those police officers that burn out after 5 or 10 years and recognizing the strain and the burden on their relationships and their policing and their family life as well. So I think it's a great start, and certainly support anything we can do to help recruit officers. We want to make sure we're taking care of our senior and veteran officers that, you know, have those relationships, that have that rapport, that have really been sticking it out through some pretty tough times here recently.
Have anything in mind that would help those who, as you mentioned, burn out after 5 or so years?
Well, I think you could modify that or add to it with a retention bonus, and let's figure out what that time period is. You know, a lot of police officers come on board, they're excited, they're thrilled, and then, you know, after 5 years, 7 years, I don't know what that sweet spot is, it begins to sink in. This is really hard work, and it's not what I thought. And, you know, it's put these 10-hour shifts day after day, it put a strain on my relationship. And, what can we do to really support those law enforcement officers in a way that that rewards their longevity and makes them want to stay here and retire from here?
Anything else that has come to your attention in this kind of discussion of the community policing and what you decided, I guess it was at the last meeting, to go ahead and have August 31st, let's have a report on what community policing mm-hmm. will look like in this community, and let's move forward and try to hit that goal?
Sure. Council approved that community policing resolution. We had another town hall, if you will, with the NAACP and Minority Men's Network on Tuesday. I've met with Sergeant Fox, the city manager's liaison to that process, and you know, I hope there's a combination of both some immediate steps that we can take to begin to implement this change of culture, this leadership transition, and this ethos in our department, as well as some more long-term plans that pay dividends when it comes to reducing crime and improving public safety.
Well, we're about out of time. Anything else on your mind this morning?
No, it's been great. Hopefully it's a short meeting tonight, but I'm looking forward to having another robust discussion as usual. And again, just so proud of Columbia and the red carpet, if you will, that we laid out for all the visitors this weekend.
Mayor, thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Brian Treese on KFRU.